Would you like to open your Bibles? This is Luke chapter 14. And we're going to start just two verses at Luke 34. Salt is good. You agree, don't you? Salt is good. It's good to have salt. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. It's thrown out. Whoever has ears to listen, let them hear. Who has ears to listen? One person, that's good. So this is part of Jesus' core teaching. And you'll find it in Matthew, you'll find it in Mark, and you will find it in Luke. We are salt. You are salt. And you are to be salt. The context of the passage is of growing from being a believer to being a disciple, because there's a difference. And Jesus says, if you love your family more than me, or if you love yourself more than me, you can't be my disciple. He says, unless you take up your cross every day and follow me, you can't be my disciple. He says, unless you count the cost, you can't be my disciple. And then he says, if you don't surrender your life, you can't be my disciple. In the same way, he says in verse 33, those who do not give up everything they have cannot become my disciples. So Matthew says, you are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Now, we have chemists here, at least retired chemists here. So I have to be careful what I say. Salt is salt, right? I don't want to insult you. Salt is salt. NaCl. It's a compound. Sodium chloride. Is that right? Am I correct? Salt is salt. It can't lose its saltiness. It can't be made salty. It is what it is. It can't stop being salt. It can't start being salt. Jesus was a carpenter, not a chemist. Of course, it's quite possible that Jesus is being a little bit ironic here. And he's saying, okay, you are a disciple. A disciple is what you're going to be. And you can't be else than a disciple. The gospel is a part of your life, and it has to be a part of your life. But it's more likely there's something more subtle that Jesus is saying here. Salt is necessary for life. You know that, don't you? You know that if you don't have enough salt in your body, you will die. You know that if you are a limey like me, and you go into a hot climate where you perspire a lot, I am an Englishman, I do not sweat, I perspire. Are we clear on that? You have to take salt tablets because you can die. So my mother had critically low salt levels. Salt levels that were so low that she literally could have died at any moment. And she had to take salt tablets, and they kept increasing the dosage of these salt tablets, and it just didn't seem to do any good. And after about a year, she sat down with a new doctor. She sat down with a smart doctor. And the doctor looked at her and said, how much tea are you drinking? So they did the maths and they added it up. And it turns out that she was drinking 2 liters of tea every day. It comes as a sad thing to discover that your mother is an addict. The tea was leaching the salt out of her system. And her tea addiction very nearly killed her. So the doctor banned her. No more tea for you. After about a year, she was allowed in the morning and in the evening one cup of weak tea. I grew up amongst addicts. In the ancient world, salt was expensive. The Talmud, written about 300 years after Jesus, says this: the world cannot survive without salt. Salt adds flavor to things. Salt is necessary for health. Salt is a preservative. We still, if we don't have refrigeration, we still use salt to keep meat and fish. Salted fish will keep. In biblical days, salt was added to sacrifices. And when you made a covenant, you made a covenant using salt. In fact, when Jews do the equivalent of our communion on a Friday night, they will always dip the bread in salt before they eat it. Jesus is saying, the world needs you. The world needs the salt that you bring. Your community needs the salt that you bring. Now, let's be clear here. Your community does not want the salt that you bring, but it needs the salt that you bring. Now, because salt was so expensive, in the ancient world, salt was very rarely pure. In the same way that with drugs today, we cut the drugs, salt in the ancient world was cut. It was mixed with other things. We don't actually have any drug dealers in church this morning that I know of. We had several drug dealers in the first service. Pharmacists, yes, pharmacists. Okay, just want to be clear. Oh, where was I? They were cut. So usually salt was mixed either with clay or more frequently with powdered rock, ground rock. So when you bought salt, you bought a mix. And of course, depending on the honesty of the person selling it to you, you got more salt or you got more rock. So you understand what Jesus is saying here. A mix of stone and salt, of clay and salt. So what happens when salt gets wet? Salt is soluble in water, right? So if you've got this mix of clay and salt and it gets damp, what's going to happen? Right, okay, everyone back to chemistry lessons. The salt is going to leach out of the mixture. And what's going to be left is just clay. Or just powdered rock. What are you going to do with powdered rock? Are you going to add it to your cooking? No good for the ground. You can't put it on the dung heap. You throw it on the path. That's all it's good for. And Jesus is saying, you're salt. And the salt that you bring is good. And there is something in you that has to make a difference in the world around you. Something that has to flavor. Something that has to preserve, something that has to change, something that has to purify, because we put salt on wounds too. I can remember as a kid, if you had an ulcer in your mouth, you would put your finger in some salt and put it on the ulcer, and it would sting like crazy. But the next day it would be gone. It's a purifying factor. And Jesus is saying, that's who we are to be. We are to be an agent of change in the world around us. We are to be different from the world around us. We are to bring an influence. Jesus, in this parable, is calling you to change the world. And the world can't survive without you. You are a needed element within this world. Of course, the danger is because we're a mix, right? Powdered stone and salt. Clay and salt. I mean, there's a kind of a deal going on here because according to Genesis, this is how we're made. And there was a time when we were just clay, but when the gospel came into our lives, we became clay and salt. And the danger is that salt leaches out of our lives. That we take on the nature of everybody around us. That the things that are distinctive about us, the things that are different about us, get leached out of our lives. And all we end up being is clay. No different from anybody else. Embrace the salt. Embrace the salt in your life. Do things that promote that salt in your life. Odd things like, I don't know, reading the Bible. Because God will speak to you as you read the Bible. You know that, don't you? Praying, practicing practical holiness. You're not called to be like everybody else. You're not called to be some sort of glorified dust. You're called to be salt. To be distinctive. To make a difference. Why be clay when you can be salt? And as you live in the world and you express Christ's teachings in what you say and what you do and who you are being salt. And the world needs salt. So adding salt changes flavor and nature. I'm a porridge eater. Any other porridge eaters here, right? So when you make porridge, unless you get it in a satchel with Uncle Ben written on it, Uncle Toby, whoever it is, and they charge you 5 times as much as if you bought the oats. When you make your porridge, you add salt. And if you forget, you know, because it does not taste right. So what Jesus is saying here is, I do not like the way this world tastes. You need to change its flavor. You need to be salt. This is a great commission kind of a deal. And this is why we exist, to go into the world. Hi, Azaria. It's almost like Jesus has got this salt shaker. And over Hamilton, he's sprinkling salt. He's sprinkling Christians into different environments. Over New Zealand, over the world, we are being sprinkled to make a change, to have an influence, to purify. Now, too much salt is not a good thing. It will harden your arteries. It will do bad things to your body. When you get home this afternoon, grab a teaspoon from the drawer. Grab the salt container from the pantry, fill the teaspoon with salt, That's one of the problems with church. Put too much salt in one place. We're called to be out of the salt shaker. Right, we're called to influence a world around us. So So what is the salt in us? The salt in us is the gospel. I mean, you can make an argument for a whole heap of different things, but today it's the gospel. And it's the effects of the gospel, and it's the wisdom of the gospel. When Mark writes this, and I imagine Jesus taught in hundreds of different places. He went from town to town and village to village, and I imagine this teaching about being salt was something that he shared 100 times if he shared it once. And when Mark records this, he says, have salt in yourself. So what he's getting at, and Luke is saying the same thing when he talks about this believer becoming disciple, is he says you're a mix. And you're a mix of clay and salt. Once you were just clay, now you're clay and salt, and the salt has to work through your life. It has to work through all the difficult bits in your life. And it's not a question of you being all salt. It's a question of you being the right balance of salt, because we all have busy lives. And we all have 101 calls in our lives. And it's not like church is all that we do in the week. We are a mix. And what Luke is telling us is that salt has to touch everything in that mix. So who you are at work, who you are at school, who you are in your leisure activities, when you're doing your hobbies, when you're at the gym, whatever it is, who you are when you're in your family, the salt has to touch every part of you. It has to be the controlling factor in your life. Too much salt, not enough salt. Too much salt and you are no use. Too much clay and you are no use. There has to be a balance, and you are to bring flavor. You have salt and you are salt, and the salt has to work all through you as the gospel works through your life, as the gospel changes who you are. I did grandparent day this week. That's what my life has come down to. Grandparent day. So I visited the school of my two grandsons. It started with a book fair. You know, those scholastic books that are twice the price of Whitcalls. And it started with half an hour when you could go and buy books for your kids. And then we had sort of a half an hour presentation in the hall when the kids were singing. And then we had a book fair when you could go and buy books with your kids. And then we had sort of a morning tea that was provided by the parents. And then we had a book fair. And I began to question the purpose of Grandparent Day. But I got to see what my grandkids were learning. And they're young. And I got to see their times table work. 2 times 2 equals... I got to see their spelling, and you will have noticed from the announcements, the word toilet was spelt in French, so I can't spell either of the languages that I can speak. Let's be clear on that. I make no bones about that, and it was embarrassing to discover that my 7-year-old grandson has better handwriting than me. They're learning the simple basics. You've learned the simple basics too. Simple basics of the gospel. They're not complicated, but they are powerful. And within them, there is wisdom. This whole dynamic of forgiveness, forgiving those that hurt you, That's core to the gospel. That's salt. That's salt in your life. Grace. Grace is core to the gospel. Treating others in a way that they don't deserve to be treated. Treating them better than they deserve to be treated. That's salt. Compassion. Compassion for others. That's gospel. That's salt. Patience. That's gospel. That's salt. Humility. That's gospel. That's salt. Love. That's gospel. That's salt. And whatever environment you are in, whether it's your work environment, whether it's your school or your educational environment, whether it's your home environment, when you bring those things to that environment, you are being salt. When you show those things in your environment, you are being salt. When you are those things in your environment, you're being salt. You're changing, you're bringing an influence, and it is simple, but it is powerful. When you bring anger, when you bring bad language, when you bring frustration, when you bring the old nature, that's not bringing salt, that's bringing clay. I'd like to say that's bringing chili powder, but I'm not going to. So I have to look at myself and I have to say, what am I bringing? Am I bringing salt? Because I have to bring God into the situations where I am. I have to bring the gospel. I have to be salt. Forgiveness is gospel wisdom. When you forgive, when you set an example of forgiveness in your difficult workplace, when you teach forgiveness through your actions, when you model it, when you talk about it, you're sharing the wisdom of the gospel and the power of the gospel, because these things work. They work. They are active in our lives. You model grace. You're being salt. And salt can't help but have an effect. Simple, gospel, wisdom. Think of the fruit of the Spirit. Think of the gifts of the Spirit. Think of the likeness of Christ that is being built into your life. Think of the deposit of the Holy Spirit that God's put into you. Think of all that you've learned over the years that you have known Jesus. And you will realize that in a room like this, there is an incredible amount of wisdom. There is an incredible amount of power. You have gospel in you. You have salt in you. You have something to bring, something to give, a way to make a difference. You are salt. Of course, in a room like this, there are also a huge number of problems. No one willing to admit to being a problem. Anybody here that doesn't have a problem? We all got problems, haven't we? So the first thing you're going to do with this gospel wisdom is you are going to apply it to your life. Sometimes when I do probationary pastors' symposiums, which I get to do most years, I give them some advice. I say to them, there's a speaker that I'd like you to start listening to. Right now, they're not particularly well known, but their material is reasonably easily available. And if you listen to what they say, you will find it has a remarkable effect in your life. And they all want to know who it is. And then I say, it's you. listen to your own sermons and do what you tell other people to do. Fair enough? So you're going to take this gospel wisdom, what's already in your life, and you are going to apply it to your issues. And if you tell other people that the best thing they can do with their problems is to pray about them, then you know what you've got to do. And if you know that forgiveness is going to change things, then you do it. And if you know that humility is going to change things, then you do it. You get what I'm saying? You apply it, first of all, to yourself before you apply it to others. It is our job to change the world. And I've lost my place. If you have been in this church for any length of time, first of all, I feel sorry for you. You will know that we have a mantra, something that I wheel out on a regular basis. And it goes like this. Are you ready? Church is the pits. It really is. This is the pits. I wonder how that got translated. I dread to think. But if you know me, you will know that I am a Formula One fan. I like open wheel racing. It's cool. Yeah, I know it's all fixed. Wish Lawson would stop blaspheming as much as he does. I love it. We're the pits. We're where you go to get refueled. We're where you go to get the tires changed. We're where you go to get the issues fixed so that you can win the race. But the race is not won in the pits. The race is won on the tracks. And the track is life. And church is just the pits. We're just here so that we can reach the world around us. I love the church. I love who we are as a church. But I love the kingdom of God more. So we take what we know and we apply it to ourselves. And when we apply it to those around us, and then we apply it to a world that needs what we have. Let your light so shine that people will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Be salt. There's a world to be saved. If you follow this, if you realize that wherever you are, whether it's the shop, whether it's walking down the street, whether it's at work, you are to be salt. You are to bring an influence. You will realize that this opens the door to witness. Now, let's be honest. The way that most of us witness is not salt. It is an assault. Oh, don't blame me. That was Cy on the way out of church after the first service. Complain to him. So the way that we witness tends to be to condemn or confront or argumentative or self-righteous or preachy. And those things are not salt. You'll realize that when you model the gospel, it will open the doors. Who you are and what you do will open the doors for what you say. And people will want to know what's different about you. What gives you that peace inside? What enables you to love the people around you that nobody else loves? This is the wisdom of the gospel. Colossians 4, verse 3 says this: be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So every morning I pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to share with somebody today. And then because I am me, I pray a more important prayer. Lord, help me to recognize that opportunity and help me to take it well. I don't need to make opportunities. The Bible tells me that opportunities are already there for them. It's God that makes the opportunities. I just have to take them. So I've got to make the most of every opportunity, and I've got to let my conversation be seasoned with grace. Full of grace, seasoned with salt. So all of my words have got to be seasoned by the gospel. There's got to be a gospel element, not just salt. You know, remember the teaspoon of salt? We're not called to be in a salt shaker. We're called to be out, seasoned with salt, so that a world will come to know who God is. Every opportunity, the wisdom of the gospel. Can we stand together? Every situation you face this week, you're salt. And you're to make a difference. So, can we pray? And maybe two or three people would like to pray. And just say, Lord, help me to be an influence for you where I am this week. Can we do that?